Good morning. We will open the North Dakota Public Service Commission meeting. It is Thursday, November 10th, 2011. It's 10 a.m. in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol, which is the time and place for our regular biweekly meeting, which is a little bit irregular because it's on Thursday as opposed to Wednesday. This is, for the record, Tony Clark, Commission Chairman. I'm joined today by my fellow commissioners, who I will allow to introduce themselves.
Good morning, Kevin Kramer. Welcome.
Good morning, Brian Kalk. I also take note of 236 years ago today, the Marine Corps was founded. So we go back to that, and I see we have some members of the audience, some other services, but the Marine Corps is the senior service, just for the record. Thank you all very much.
Very good. Happy birthday to the Marine Corps.
Yes.
With that, we have items on consent.
I move passage of consent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Moving to items in my portfolio, TC1, I move the commission adopt the order adopting settlement and Otter Tail Power Company's application for advanced determination of prudence for CapEx 2020 Group 1 projects, case numbers PU-09-676, and Northern States Power Company's application for advanced determination of prudence for CapEx 2020 projects, Group 1 projects, case numbers PU-09-678.
Second.
This is an amended settlement that, if approved, the commission would adopt that deals specifically with the Brookings line. As you may recall, CapEx 2020 Group 1 had a number of projects in it that the commission had previously granted an advanced determination of prudence for, which included the Fargo line, the La Crosse line, the Bemidji line, and the fourth line that was in that but was treated a little bit differently by the commission was a Brookings line. The reason for that was the Brookings line, unlike the others, was not rated specifically as a reliability line. Rather, it was considered what MISO has called an MVP project, or a multi-value project, which means that it is a project that both has reliability attributes, but it also has attributes that make it favorable for generation interconnection. So it was a little bit different. The cost recovery mechanism at the time that the commission approved the rest of the Group 1 projects was not as known as it is today, and so that was the reason that in our original settlement we asked the company to come back and update us, and we'd make a further determination at the appropriate time, which is now for this particular Brookings line. The Brookings line is approximately $730 million investment by regional utilities. It runs from approximately the Brookings, South Dakota area into the south side of the Twin Cities. As I said, it's both a reliability line and a line that facilitates interconnection of generation, primarily renewable wind projects. Early studies, the record in this case, indicated for that particular corridor would indicate that a line like this might open up somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 megawatts of additional wind generation coming online. This line itself doesn't go all the way to North Dakota, but it's part of a regional grid that, if it weren't developed, we wouldn't at any point in the future have access to those markets, at least in any size or magnitude of 2,000 megawatts. In addition, of course, the La Crosse line adds further capabilities to move wind power to the east. The important thing about this settlement, and something that advocacy staff had a concern about, and it was a concern that was certainly shared by me and I think the whole commission, was with regard to cost recovery of this line. The advocacy staff position was, and I think it's a good one, was that given the current cost allocation and recovery methodology that MISO has proposed and has been approved by the FERC, the cost for this line, because it's a line that's regionally beneficial, would be spread across the entire Midwest ISO footprint, which from a North Dakota perspective, all things considered, understanding that part of this is reliability that helps keep the lights on in North Dakota, part of it supports a state legislative policy of developing wind power in state, look like a pretty good deal for North Dakota consumers at a fairly minimal cost. The concern is that this is a tariff, which is, now has been appealed. It was just the last few days, I think, I saw that. But we knew there would be appeals because there are parties who don't like the cost methodology. The concern would be is if we approve this through an advanced mechanism, The companies go ahead and build it, and then at a later time, because of court challenges and court actions, the methodology gets changed, and these costs get simply dumped into the local zone. All of a sudden, it doesn't look like a very good deal for North Dakotans. So the settlement continues to see approves Brookings as an advanced determination of prudence line, but it creates a cap. And the cap effectively locks the exposure of ratepayers into what the current MISO-approved, FERC-approved cost methodology is. If something, a material modification happens in the future because of court challenges, North Dakota ratepayers will be protected up to that cap, and any additional costs that might get dumped into the local zone will be the responsibility of the utilities, not of consumers in North Dakota. I thought that struck an appropriate balance, and I was very pleased that advocacy staff and the parties in the case were able to come up with a mechanism like that allows a beneficial line to proceed, but at the same time limits exposure in the future if court challenges should arise.
A case like this really illustrates how important a really good staff is, I have to say. This was a hard-fought negotiation on the parts of all of the parties. I mean, everybody was, you know, in sync, I think, wanting to do the right thing. But our staff did a very good job of guarding against too much risk for the ratepayers. And so rather than assuming all the risk on behalf of North Dakota ratepayers, they really did negotiate a settlement that allows all of the parties to go into this arm in arm, providing the right signals to the investment community that there's some certainty, while at the same time guarding against too much risk for ratepayers. So congratulations to staff. Thank you to the companies for good faith negotiation. And I agree with Tony. I think this strikes the right balance.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
TC2, I move the commission deem the application complete, conditioned on receiving final turbine locations at least 1 week prior to the hearing, and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in the application of Oliver Wind 3, LLC, for certificate of site compatibility to authorize construction of a proposed 48-megawatt wind energy conversion facility in Morton County, North Dakota, case number PU-11-561.
Second.
This public hearing will be scheduled for December 20th of this year at 10 a.m. Central Daylight Time. Actually, that should be Central Standard Time. So we'll revise that little piece of errata in the hearing at the Mandan City Hall in Mandan, North Dakota. This is a proposed wind project, 48 megawatts. It's technically called Oliver 3 LLC because it's adjacent to Oliver 1 and 2, but is fully contained within Morton County. So the hearing will be in Mandan at that time and place.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC3, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE-11-657 granting the request of Valley Grain Milling, Inc. of Castleton, North Dakota to operate a 99,000 bushel grain warehouse at Wheatland, North Dakota, effective immediately.
Second.
This is a facility that's existed for some time but has not been licensed since January of 2000. It was recently purchased by and will be operated by Valley Grain Milling.
All in favor?
Aye.
TC4, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE-11-675, canceling warehouse license number 131, granted to Crete Grain Company, Inc. at Crete, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Crete is discontinued effective November 1 of 2011.
Second.
In early of 2011, the Crete Grain Company had sold their warehouse, as you may recall, to Columbia Grain and discontinued business at Oaks, but continued to license two bins at Creek for the purpose of settling remaining contracts and shipping of inventories that they had. That having been dispensed with, they're now able to give up the license.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. TC5, I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and citing application to 15 days, and assess a filing fee of $2,150 due upon filing an application in case number PU-11-686, Lake Region State College's proposed 1.6-megawatt wind turbine project in Ramsey County, North Dakota.
Second.
This is a little bit of a unique application the commission received. As you recall, the legislature recently changed the law, effective this August, that ensures that any commercial wind project of any size be cited by the commission. This is just one turbine that Lake Region is looking to put up. It's 1.6 megawatts. They indicate it's a few miles from the campus, and it's about 3,000 feet from any residence, and then they'll have a collector line that hauls the power back to the campus. In this, although we're just noticing this letter of intent, I do note that Lake Region in their letter is asking for a couple of waivers. One is for the waiver of time, which is fairly standard for letters of intent that we receive. The other is that because of, quote, in their words, the very limited scope of the project, they're requesting a waiver of the full siting process, which is a waiver is something that is permitted in North Dakota Century Code and North Dakota Administrative Code. So the commission, as we take up this case, will be looking at that request for a waiver, and perhaps at the end of the day, Lake Region may not need to go through the same full siting process that a large wind farm would.
Yeah, I would just add to that, I had the opportunity to tour the campus, I think it was last winter, and they've got a very good program up there, and Tony laid it out very well. This is a very unique situation, but I think what it is for us is just to make sure we do due diligence, because you know the one turbine I think we're going to be able to work with, but then at some point in time there's going to be that break point of 3 megawatts, 6 megawatts, 10 megawatts, so we're going to have to watch this very closely. But for this particular one, I'm confident we can move this along pretty quick.
I would think so as well, although I would also say that while setting precedent is always something we have to be aware of, at the same time working with another state institution that is providing a service that's important to the energy industry, especially at a time when the biggest challenge is workforce, you know, I would think we can do some things. I also would hope that there are other entities such as vendors and other, you know, the construction and manufacturers as well as utilities that also look to be somewhat benevolent in this situation, if you will, because I think frankly, siting a wind turbine or a wind farm is also part of an education, and to provide a good, solid record that helps them in their education process turns out a better product at the end of the day. So congratulations to Lake Region, and Doug Darling is here with us, and appreciate what you're doing to fill that niche and fill that need, and I hope it's mutually beneficial.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And TC6, I move the commission adopt the order reinstating warehouse license number 565 of Noodles by Leonardo, Inc. at its Candu, North Dakota warehouse effective November 8th, 2011, in case number GE-11-679.
Second.
This license was suspended as required under North Dakota Century Code 60-02-09.1 because we received a cancellation notice of the bond. And on November 8th, a replacement bond was received. The bond requirements have been met, and so staff is recommending that the license be reinstated.
All in favor?
Aye.
That ends the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Call.
Good morning. Just for the note, items BK1 and BK3 have been withdrawn. It looks like there might be some interveners in one of the cases, so we can let that sort itself out for the next while. So we'll go right to item BK2. I move the commission issue a notice of filing, notice of informal hearing, and notice of opportunity for hearing in the joint application of Otter Tail Power Company and North Central Electric Cooperative, Inc. for approval of an electric service area agreement and resulting issuance of certificate of public convenience and necessity to establish service areas and designate service locations to be served by Otter Tail and North Central Electric within and around the city of Botno, North Dakota, case numbers PU11659 and PU11660.
Second.
What we have is, I always like to see when industrial utilities and the rural electrics get together and define their service area, and this, I think, is a good example of Otter Tail and North Central Electric got together. They've worked something out, brought it forward to the commission. And the process now is that, you know, we're going to make sure we follow North Dakota Century Code and make sure that's compatible with public interest. The comments and requests for a hearing must be received by December 16th, and we have an informal hearing scheduled for December 7th. Just the on a sidebar, too, that, you know, obviously I'm from Botno, so you know that area very well, but we're really starting to see, as the energy boom continues, you know, the co-ops, really their territory continues to change. The cities really want to define that, and I think it's very, very important to stay ahead of this. We approved one of these for Williston and Montreal Williams a while back, so I really encourage that investor owns and the co-ops do this ahead of time before they become very, very controversial.
All in favor?
Aye.
That concludes the items in my portfolio.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. I just have one. I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and citing application to 60 days and assess a filing fee of $92,000 due upon filing of an application in case number PU11680, Montana Dakota Utilities Company's proposed 24-mile, 10-inch natural gas pipeline in Morton County of North Dakota.
Second.
This is, as the motion states, citing of the... For the pipeline that will feed the natural gas to the 88-megawatt single cycle turbine proposed by MDU over in Mandan. They expect to file the siting application in the first quarter of 2012 and complete the facility and have it installed by late 2013. Of course, they are, as always, as is standard, asking for us to put both the certificate of corridor compatibility and the route permit in one case. And this line would be 24 miles long. It's a 10-inch in diameter proposed natural gas pipeline that would, as I said, supply the requirements for the 88-megawatt turbine being proposed in Mandan. It would originate at a Newtown border station to be installed on the northern border pipeline near St. Anthony, North Dakota, and then, of course, would terminate at the proposed plant site near the Heskett Station. As I said, it would be completed sometime by the end of 2013. The estimated cost of the pipeline is $18.4 million, and I did lay out a map and a timeline on the table for anybody that might be interested in that. But we have, this has been, ever since hearing about it, been fairly, been a pretty consistent series of applications. We do have the siting application for the power plant itself. We also have applications for an advanced determination of prudence and a certificate of public convenience and necessity on the plant, and now, of course, the LOI. So it appears everything is in sync to hopefully, hear it all, and if approved, it would be done by the end of 2013.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That ends items in my portfolio.
Very good. Upcoming meetings are listed in your agenda. We don't have any hearings over the next couple of weeks before our next meeting, which is on Wednesday, November 23rd. And I suspect that's primarily because I'll be out of town for the most part next week at the NARUC annual meeting.
But you are president of NARUC for just a few more days.
Just a few more. 1 week from yesterday. Who's counting? With that, unless there is anything else for the good of the order, we will turn it over for questions.
And I don't mean this question to be flip, but why should we care about the Brookings line? Is there a reason why North Dakotans should care about the Brookings line?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. Because here's a line that's, none of which will be constructed in North Dakota proper, but with any of these lines, as folks remember from some of the large blackouts that we've had across the country, events in one state can have a dramatic impact on events in another. The electric grid, the regional transmission grid, is one that is operated as a whole. So things that happen in Minnesota have an impact in North Dakota. Things that can happen in Wisconsin or further east even can have an impact here. And that's why we have regional transmission organizations and regional reliability organizations that work on the planning of the regional transmission grid. And consumers from all the states in the region in some ways can benefit from projects and therefore are asked to contribute to the cost in some of those projects. The Brookings line is a bit of a unique line. It falls into this category of multi-value projects. So it's not entirely a reliability project. It's not entirely a project that's going to hook up new generation. And so in recognition of those kinds of projects, the way that the Midwest Independent System Operator, the entity that's charged with running the regional grid, has come up with allocating those costs out is to spread them across the region, across a region-wide footprint, which stretches from Michigan to Montana, basically. And so given that existing cost methodology, the commission felt comfortable in approving the line. As I said, if that were to change a little bit and too much of the cost, from our opinion, would be if they were dumped into the local zone so that North Dakotans were paying an unfair portion or a disproportionate share, the way that this settlement is structured, it would cap North Dakota ratepayer exposure at the existing methodology as it exists today.
to follow up on that, what would be approximate cost, do you know, for a North Dakota rapier?
You know, I asked staff that that question earlier, and we can try to calculate it out. The total project as a whole is about $730 million. The XL portion of the Brookings project is in the neighborhood of $25 to $27 million. The Otter Tail portion is in the neighborhood of $11 to $13 million. And so once you start breaking that down as a per customer basis, it becomes a fairly small charge because you're spreading the entire cost of that project over a footprint-wide region, as I said, from Michigan to Montana. So the average impact to any particular customer is probably quite small. The concern is that if those costs were to be all dumped in the local zone, $700 million-plus dollars is a lot of money, and it could have a much more significant impact. But we can, I think, try to figure out if we have can figure out what just broken down by an individual customer impact it might be.
This also illustrates once again that transmission is not built in a vacuum, that electricity doesn't acknowledge state borders, and reliability is important to every consumer. One only has to remember back to the most famous recent blackout in the northeastern part of our country to realize that the dispatchability of electricity, and it follows funny routes. And if there's a shortage in any one spot or a problem in any one spot, it can have dramatic impacts on places far away. So, these are tough calls to make. And the thing, in addition to the cost, that was important to me was that who provides the regulatory certainty, and how much certainty do you provide without giving too much risk to your ratepayers? And I think the balance was struck here.
Jerry may have an answer because his phone just went off and his hand went up. But
evidence that the internet works.
For NSP, I got a number of about 20 cents a month for the Brookings line for a typical customer.
Okay.
Dave, if I could just throw a thought out there, I think as the commission looks forward, and there's so much going on with energy development throughout the state, but I think transmission and cost allocation may be the biggest thing the commission faces down the road, because as the grid in the country, you know, there needs to be improvements that are made throughout it. North Dakota is always going to be generating a lot of energy, so we have to move it. And you look at Otter Tail and MDU with their potential of leaving MISO in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of things that I think have worked itself out, but if something changes at the federal level that changes the cost allocation down to the states, that could have, you know, I would say catastrophic impact on North Dakota ratepayers. So I think we're going to have to keep a very, very close eye on this. And this case was, I think, the very good step in, once again, setting a precedence for what we'll look at down the road. And even looking at those two items that we withdrew today, those are dealing with transmission cost recovery, and there's interveners now. It's getting very, very complicated. Not that it wasn't before.
The broad issue then, are you satisfied with the reliability of MISO and the reliability of these systems that are in place here?
One of the things that I think MISO does very well is the reliability component of the RTO. There are always discussions around it, and there are even more discussions around the energy market issue, you know, how energy is bought and sold, and there's a lot of debate that goes on with that. But from what I hear from folks in the industry and regional stakeholders, one thing that has been very beneficial with regard to regional markets, regional transmission organizations, is the reliability component. We have the ability to rely on power from across a fairly broad footprint in a way that we didn't before. And that's good from a reliability standpoint. We don't want to find ourselves in situations, again, where, as Kevin suggested, a tree goes down in Ohio and all of a sudden you have New York City having an extended blackout.
On a quick another subject, have you been asked to weigh in on the suit that the Attorney General brought against Minnesota regarding power?
No, we weren't asked to weigh in on that particular lawsuit, or at least... And I wasn't. Not my opinion wasn't.
I do support it, though.
Okay. All right. Very good. With that, we'll do order signing and come back in 10 minutes at 10:40.